current events of 2003. Let's just kind of take a look. You know, you are supposed to take the stars and the planets and so forth, and they're kind of for signs, but you're not to make a religion out of it, okay? It's just, it is there in Genesis chapter 1, what is it, along about verse 15, 16, the stars and the moon were given for signs of times. And that means planning also. You know, if the moon raises the tide 5 feet out in the ocean, it also raises the water level here under the earth, and that's time to plant taters, okay, when the tide's in on ground. Have you ever heard of the tide being in on the plains? Well, it is, according to the moon. But a lot of those things we learn down through life and years, trial, error, and hey, always take advantage. You know, be one up whenever. If you want good taters, that'll work. Okay. Now, however, let's look at the planets today. Who brought in January? Saturn. A lot of people think Saturn, because our Saturday was named from it, is really a fantastic time. Well, Saturn is Satan's planet, okay? And he's right there standing forth about the time night falls. Look over there, brightest thing in the sky. What does that mean? Well, I don't know. Take a dollar and buy you a cup of coffee with that knowledge about anywhere anymore. It'll work for you. Just letting you know, okay? Now, we have a very strange thing happening. Mars is still pretty much in the play. You know, that's the war planet. And here we sit on a keg of powder with February coming out when it looks like things might start June-ing pretty good. But Mars is fading away, like it's some kind of big deception here. But then all of a sudden it starts closing again, and come August the 27th of this year, it is closer, Mars is closer to Earth than it has been in, some think 50,000 years, a lot think 70,000 years. So Mars is going to be shining real bright, and that's about the time in the fourth 50-day period after Pentecost, Passover, that we start counting down 14 days to the fall of fellowship, all right? Just passing that on, what does that mean? Why would Mars, the war planet, and you know, in concerning 9/11, we had Mars just beaming its little signals there, and sure enough, 9/11 happened. We went to a war like we've never seen in this nation before. It happened here, basically. So anyway, those are the signs from heaven. Don't make a religion out of that. You know, a lot of people like to just live out in boom boom land and get on a high by not facing reality. You know, this is why you want to stick to God's scriptures. Thus saith the Lord. Well, a planet can move all it wants to, and you're not going to see a thus saith the Lord out there. Okay? So you got to be very careful. Use wisdom. Okay? But that being said, now, let's go to the current events. I mean, you talk about 03 brought out the fruitcakes, the nuts. I mean, we've got Raphael, he calls him. Do you know what the word Raphael in Hebrew means? That's the name for the fallen angels, basically. And he claims that you came from a fallen an angel that came down here with DNA and packed it all together and wrapped it, and there you were. Hey, you know. Well, and they really don't believe in God. And they have a lady spokesman, and she's kind of a beauty. She's volunteered to entertain the Green Boys if they ever come back. Now, I'll tell you something. This is so, it is so fake, so cornball. And, you know, hey, they're doing a little bit of collecting on the side, too. You know, that's what it's about. $200,000 a pop. How many of you would like to buy something just like you are for $200,000? I see you wives shaking your heads. Oh, never happened. Well, anyway, it's not, hey, they have nada. unless they've got some scientist hid away that we don't know about, it seems that this cult likes sexual activity considerably, and I figure while they're doing all this experimenting, there's something else going on all at the same time, and they're producing a lot of babies. They are that. But anyway, you know, a smart person must figure it out for themselves, but it's very serious because of this. It's drawing out of the woodwork a lot of people that are going for cloning. If you want to know what will bring God down from heaven, you start messing around with His creation. He does not like it. And this is one of the things, you'll remember we did a lecture on this, Fall Fellowship, year before last, on what brings God down from heaven, and cloning happens to, you know, as you will read in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4, all souls belong to me. And there was a time many years ago in a place called Babel that, and it was first known as B-A-B-I-L, okay? The Quran chapter 266, Babel means the gate of God, okay? Now I know in Hebrew, the way we study the Word of God, it means confusion, because it's spelled B-A-B-A-L, okay? But still to this day, the Quran, as well as your Funk and Wagnalls and others, will call it the gate to God. Why? They built a tower whereby they could meet, they could save themselves, they could create their own eternal salvation without having to go through God. And when you leave God out of the equation, He doesn't like it. Now, we have a great deal of correspondence with Baghdad anymore. And God lets these little signs come up. And where is Baghdad? Well, on the biblical map, Baghdad is about 56 miles north of Babel, or Babylon. Babylon sits on the east side of the Euphrates River, where it always has. And we the southern no-fly zone, we're getting just right in there plunking away, okay? Not at Babylon, but in the vicinity down near Basra and other places. So there's a whole lot going on, and God teaches by types. And we see Saddam Hussein as a type. He is the ruler of old Babylon at this time. You know, I don't know how many of you remember, but several years ago, Saddam rebuilt the city Babylon. I forget how many bricks. There was millions of bricks and restoring a great deal of it, and he had a big musical fest, and it kind of popped. You know, it didn't go anywhere because who wants to make Babylon famous all over again? Anyway. He still, I mean, how better could you advertise the type? Now, these so-called Raphites, what they call themselves, say their ultimate goal in cloning is to find their own eternal life. Now think about it. Hey, that's heavy, friend. And again, like I said, it's a bunch of hogwash, you know. It's so ridiculous that even news commentators, though they're giving him free advertising, they're smirking out the other side of their face, you know, because is it comical? Well, kind of in a way, but I want you to note how many true scientists, so-called, are coming out of the closet speaking on cloning. Okay. It's giving them encouragement to speak out. And God hears all this. So I tell you what we're going to do with this having been said. We're living in a time that we're going to see some interesting things this year. And the thing, main thing you want to do is keep your eyes open. But you're hearing and seeing some things that are very exciting. Are there fruitcakes in the world? Yes, there are. I'll tell you quite frankly, anytime you see a guy that's got a I don't know what you call that thing, little knot that the fallen, the space people wear, okay? But anyway, they got it. And the little quilted sweat vest they wear, you know, that makes them beat me up, Scotty, you know, ready to go. I mean, when you see somebody like that, stop a moment and think, you know, what kind of freak is this, okay? I mean, don't lose your touch with common sense. That's all I'm saying, okay? God is more natural, or supernatural, you might say, which means he's more natural than most. So anytime you lose touch with that is normal and allow people to pervert truth, you're headed for trouble. So I want to take you back, if we may, to that city on the Euphrates, 56 miles south of Baghdad, on the east side of the Euphrates River. And I want to show you what happened there many, many years ago in Genesis chapter 11. Please open your Bibles to it. Now, as you know from Ecclesiastes chapter 1, there's nothing new under the sun. That's why it's real easy for you to stay on guard and not be made a fool of. Okay? Chapter 11, the great book of Genesis, we're going to talk about the Tower of Babel here and what God thought about man trying to arrange a gate to him without his permission. The gate of God. Okay? Or, remember this, there had just been a great flood. Everybody drowned. Hey, these people got their heads together and said, we're going to build us something. I don't care how deep it gets, we're going to be above it. We're going to make our own salvation. We're going to make us a ladder all the way to heaven. And man can't create Jacob's ladder. Jacob's ladder happened to be symbolic of our Lord and Savior. He is our gate to heaven. All right. So that's what's happening here. Verse 1 of chapter 11, Genesis, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. They had it together, okay? And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Shinar means the country of two rivers, which is the Euphrates and the Tigris, all right? It's another name for Babylon. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. I mean, let's make them hard, let's make them good, where water won't dissolve them. And they had brick of stone, and slime had they of mortar. I mean, it was, when it hardened, it was just like rock. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach into heaven. Now, here's where they went wrong. Man can't make his own trip to heaven. It won't work, okay? And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Let's make our own name. Well, now, God had already given them a name. God had already given them the instructions and certain laws. All they had to do is follow it. But every once in a while, you get somebody that comes along and they want to take shortcuts. They want to try to outperform God. You can't do that. God just expects good performance, can-do type people. You can always when you know when you can always make one more hill. I don't care what people say. You can. You can do it. You can cut it, because you're can-do type people. But don't start trying to take shortcuts on God. Do it His way if you want His blessings, and you will always win. You may have some rough times. Things may get a little rough, but you will make it. While I'm on that subject, I want to make another little statement. We've got some people today that they say, what do you think about that? Iraq and Korea at the same time. We're a superpower. They're little third and fourth rate companies. I personally have fought the North Koreans, and I guarantee you they ain't got much. Okay. Don't ever expect the rocks to protect the hill right here beside you, you better be ready to send a squad over to fill in when they're gone, because they're leaving. Okay? They got Zippo. Now, the Chinese, that's a different story. I don't think we have to worry about that. But we're a superpower. Don't let them see you sweat on your first cruise. My Lord, we have the biggest hammer. Okay? There's nothing to sweat about. We have got some of the best trained, sharpest people in our military. I mean professionals that you have ever seen. You bet. I mean, you can count on them. And sleep good tonight, all right? And don't worry about little old third and fourth rate nations. Because is it trouble? Hey, war is always hell. You know, it's not nice. And us old boys that got trapped up at the Chosun Reservoir can tell you kind of a little bit about what hell's like, okay? And what a lot of Chinese are like. But anyway, be that as it may, don't sweat. We're in good shape. Why? God promises. He keeps His promises. He protects us. One nation under God. When you're under Him, you got it made, okay? So when you hear these newscasts and you hear some of these flaky liberals say, "It just scares me to death that we're going to be facing two fronts." Let it be four. You know? Well, I'm going to be telling war stories if I don't quit this. Okay? How many fronts were we facing when there were 12,000 Marines, Royal Marines from Great Britain and U.S. Army at the Chosun Reservoir? There were 12,000 of us, and we had more fronts than you can shake a stick at. Everywhere you looked, it was, "You want your laundry done today, Sob?" Yeah. And Chinese, I mean, I shouldn't joke about that. It was pretty tough going. But anyway, it doesn't matter how many fronts we've got. If God's with us, we're going to make it. Okay? Period. We're a superpower, blessed by God. All right? I don't know who needed that, but I just wanted to throw that in, you know, when we're looking at how people could mess up here. Okay? Verse 5. They wanted to reach to heaven. Well, do it the right way if you're going to. That's through Christ. 5. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. Hey, you can get His attention. When you start going against His plan, such as cloning, I guarantee you He will come down. And you can expect it. It's not going to be that far off. In one way or the other. Verse 6, and the Lord said, "Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they began to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do." And I want you to know, He's saying it's their imaginations. Not following what He said, not following what God taught them, not following God's instructions, but their imagination. Have you ever been around someone and seen their imagination start running wild, you know? Let's just cut old Raphael out of the crowd for a minute. Boy, you know what he is? He's a sportscaster before he took his little trip with the 9 green men, or however many green men he took, you know. And he was a sportscaster, and all of a sudden he was an expert, you know, on everything. Anyway, imaginations. He let the feel for power ruin him. Okay. Verse 7. Go to. This is what our Father said. Let us go down. And I do mean go down. And there confound their language, and that they may not understand one another's speech. And so it was. That's why instead of speaking one language, we have the multiple languages we have today, with Latin being the base of many. 8. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. I mean, he put a stop to it. And that's what's going to happen. And what will he do while he's here? Well, now I'm going to tell you what. We're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, when Jesus Christ took the seat at the right hand of God, that he was going to sit right there until his enemies were made his footstool. So when he comes down, it's really for one or two occasions. It's to correct severity at the hand of the Holy Spirit, or it's the second advent. Okay. Now, I didn't say either one of those was going to happen. I'm just saying we're close to an intervention, a divine intervention by Almighty God to get some people's attention, big time. Okay. So when will that happen? Well, nobody knows. It's just going. But we know our Father does not mess around. He doesn't suffer fools. Okay, especially when it comes to messing with the superpower that he has set aside to and the nations that follow in Christianity to put the enemies under his feet, whereby that second advent shall transpire once the children are born through this earth age. Okay, and so it will be. But he's not going to let things get too far out of hand. And I tell you this, they're getting close. Okay? You don't have to worry. God's got things under control. But there are certain things he won't take. And that is for people to say we're going to find a way to have eternal life without God. And preaching that they don't even believe in God. That's not going to fly. God said, I love mine elect, mine anointed, don't touch them. Well, that's beginning to touch the offspring and everyone else, and he's not going to put up with it, okay? There is a prophecy concerning Babylon in Jeremiah chapter 50 that I think is very befitting for now. But I want you to gear your minds to this. This is only a type. The real Babylon of God's word is wherever the false Messiah sets up his kingdom, and the church that believes in the rapture that just demands to be flowing out of here makes up the old sister that heads it, all right? But here you have a type, and it could very well in Jeremiah 50 be what transpires, or at least gives you a hint at what might transpire even in this year. Concerning Babylon, as Baghdad becomes more preeminent. And hey, this guy that is leading now, Saddam Hussein, it is so easy for bleeding heart Christians to say, I feel so sorry for that man. Don't waste your breath. Okay, he's evil. You know, anytime a man will take his two sons and go down to a prison cell and tell them to kill a man, give them pistols and tell them to shoot prisoners, that's inhumane. That's not a human being. He is gross. And you all know, he had one of the reasons we know that he has weapons of mass destruction is his two son-in-laws who were high up in his organization some years back, what, four, five, somewhere along there. They took a run for Jordan and took their wives with them, being Saddam's daughters. Saddam gets on the phone and said, and of course they were spilling the beans about where the weapons were, blah, 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 how far they were along, blah, blah, and so forth. And Saddam says, all is forgiven, come home. This is his own daughters and their husbands. Come home. They came home all right. The divorce was already granted without the girls' permission or anything else the minute the plane touched down. The daughters were picked up and taken home. And guess what happened to the two husbands? The next day they were never heard from again because he executed them. His own son-in-laws. You know. So, I mean, this is what we're dealing with there. He has no... and this is why he makes such an excellent type. of the king of Babylon, so-called, because he has no morals. He really doesn't. And what can I say? You all listen to the news, you know. Chapter 51, the great book of Jeremiah, concerning Babylon. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up against Babylon, and against them that dwell in the midst of them that rise up against me, a destroying wind. And of course, the four winds are what bring about the end. All right, or did he mention the four winds? No, he didn't. Verse 2, and will send unto Babylon fanners, they shall fan her and shall empty her land. For in the day of trouble, they shall be against her round about. Now, we already have sent the fanners into Iraq, okay, both north and south. And our boys are fanning real good, okay? They're gathering intelligence, and we have dropped enough leaflets to start our own newspaper, okay, telling the people what to do and what not to do, what to listen to and what not to listen to not support Saddam, because they know how vicious he is, and even his generals are told, you back him and you're going to suffer war crimes, we will kill you, okay? That's kind of a sobering thing when they know they're serving a madman. But we've got the fanners. Now, I want to caution you again, look for the type. There will be another time that this will be fanning at the very heels of Satan as he stands as false Messiah, king of Babylon, okay? But this trouble in the Middle East at this time, because it is on the geographical location of old Babel, you want to pay attention. Verse 3, against him that bendeth, let the archer bend his bow. And against him that lifteth himself up in his brigandine, and spare ye not her young men, destroy ye utterly all her host. And we have a habit, if we ever catch them online, where they're going to create the battle of all battles, we have a little tool that works on them called a B-2, okay? I started to say a B-52. I'd date myself there pretty good, wouldn't I? We still got them, but that old B-2 can rain down. I mean, look what happened in Desert Storm. Those people, I mean, they left their post by the droves and started surrendering even to the press. That shows you what bad taste they have. Okay? Verse 4. Thus the slain shall fall in the land of the Chaldeans, that means Babylon, and they that are thrust through in her streets. There's not going to be, street fighting is always kind of tough. I don't like it, and it's dangerous, but we have people that are well trained to do street fighting, and it's not going to shake us up. But we will suffer casualties in street fighting. There's just no way around that. But I judge by the way, judge a soldier by the way, the fruit of his performance. So far, I haven't seen anything from their military that impresses me all that much. What I've seen from our military impresses me a great deal. It's not going to be that big of a deal, okay? Verse 5, for Israel hath not been forsaken, nor Judah of his God, for the Lord of hosts, though their land was filled with sin against the Holy One of Israel. And Lord only knows that's true. Sin is rampant in our nation, but not like it is in some places, okay? There are some things that go on in some countries that are just, it's just unspeakable. Verse 6, flee out of the midst of Babylon. I mean, come out of confusion. Come away from this place that tries to create a gate to God. and deliver every man his soul. We're not talking about flesh bodies. Save yourself. Through what? Christ. Be not cut off in her iniquity, for this is the time of the Lord's vengeance. He will render unto her a recompense. Not the time for salvation. Now, this chapter was just dated right there to Second Advent and just prior. You understand why? The gap theory. In Isaiah 61, as well as when you went into the synagogue and picked up Isaiah chapter 61 and said, I come to mend the brokenhearted. I come to bring salvation. This day, this prophecy is fulfilled. The next line, the remainder of the sentence was, and this is the day of vengeance. He didn't read that. Why? That's the second advent. I'm stressing this so you know we're talking about prophecy here concerning the second advent and events that transpire just prior to it, so that you are informed of the type that you see before your very eyes today. And that day of recompense, he looks forward to that. He really does. And he's going to lower the boom on them. 7. Babylon hath been a golden cup in the Lord's hand. Now absorb that. That's why you don't want to get too shook up. The cup's in the Lord's hand. He can spill it, pour it out, do whatever he wants to with it anytime. That made all the earth drunken. The nations have drunken of her wine. Therefore, the nations are mad. And, you know, that particular verse, when I listen to tonight's news, and when I see Raphael one more time, and his little princess, you know, it's mad, okay? It's insane. But people, we kind of chuckle, yeah? You know, because I suppose in a way that one that really knows, you can discern the signs of the time. I mean, this is getting right down where the rubber meets the road, okay? But I just wanted to fill in there. 8, Babylon is suddenly fallen and destroyed. It's going to happen. That hadn't happened yet. This is future. Howl for her, take balm for her pain. If so be, she may be healed. Will she in the millennium? That's what it has reference to. The individuals, that is to say. We would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. Forsake her, and let us go every one into his own country, for her judgment reacheth unto heaven, and is lifted up even to the skies. That's what's happening, my friends. It's getting all the way to heaven. It's his attention, and he's going to bring him down with all the other stuff that is woven into it. We are coming close to that time. Will it be this year? Who knows? But at least be aware of the current events and know this. Our Father is not a happy camper with people messing around in his business of souls. You might just ask yourself a question. Inasmuch as God created male and female, he created them and he told them, replenish the earth. Do you know what replenish means? That means bring forth children and replenish the earth, and he would breathe the breath of life, which is to say a soul, into them. Do you think he's going to breathe a soul into the breath of a clone? I mean, just think about it a minute. In as much as there are no souls that don't belong to him. Isaiah chapter 18 verse 4 documents that. All souls belong to me. You don't have to worry about, well, someday I'm going to get around to giving my soul to God. Too late, friend. He's had your soul coming out the gate. Okay? I mean, it's his to do with as he chooses. I mean, live a few, burn a few. Okay? Does she love me? Does she love me not? I'm jesting, but it is his. He loves his children. And he hopes, he doesn't get any pleasure from zapping somebody. And it's his hope that all will make it. And that's why he sends people such as yourself to plant seeds and try to lead people into sanity and common sense especially in this generation. Verse 10, the Lord hath brought forth our righteousness. Come and let us declare in Zion the work of the Lord our God. And don't ever forget, it's not our work, it's His work. He works through you. Make bright the arrows, gather the shields. The Lord hath raised up the spirit of the kings of the Medes. Now, who is that? Medo-Persia is where Iran sits today. So you might just make a little note, Iran there. It seems she's going to get involved in this, okay? For his device is against Babylon. Well, they just went through an eight-year war some years back and lost nearly a million people. And Iran, the young people there are anxious to get rid of the old clerics and bring in a new government. So I can very easily see how they could come into play as this develops. Against Babylon to destroy it, because it is the vengeance of the Lord, the vengeance of his temple, being brought on by his election. 12. Set up a standard. You know what a standard is? It's a flag. That flag of the United States of America there is our standard. And it has been carried through many lands. It is a, as well as this Christian flag on the other side, our American flag is a Christian flag as well. Okay? And verse 12, set up the standard upon the walls of Babylon, make the watch strong, set up the watchman, prepare the ambushes, for the Lord hath both devised and done that which he spake against the inhabitants of Babylon. It means you better really tell him, Babylon, you better get the best you got out there, because it's not going to be a drop in the bucket compared to what I'm going to do to you. Okay? So that in itself, our Father takes care of his own. You know, I don't want to go back into war stories, but I might just give you a little equation. If you have 120 frontline troops, with 120,000 frontline troops, and you have 120,000 reserves to back up where they need help, and you've got one hard hit bunch of people that are only about 12,000 strong, and they make it 65 miles and take out 10 times the number of the enemy than they lose themselves, do you think that was skill, or do you think that was God's divine intervention? You think about it. Because those numbers won't add up. All right. I mean, it's 30, it's 40 below zero. Does your car start good when it's 30 or 40 below zero? Well, those old M1s didn't work too good 30 below zero either, 40. All right. But they worked. Ways to get them going. Anyway, God looks after his people. That's what I'm saying. And I firmly believe, and I'm talking from experience, anytime this nation's army goes out, it's a Christian army, and God's going to watch over it. I believe that with all my heart. As long as we have the proper leadership that seeks his direction, and that we do right now, praise God. Okay. We're just going to go another verse or two here, and then we'll drop this. O thou that dwellest upon many waters, abundant in treasures, thine end is come, and the measure of thy covetousness, and it's going to end. The Lord of hosts has sworn by himself, saying, surely I will fill thee with men as with caterpillars, and they shall lift up a shout against thee. He hath made the earth by his power, God did. He hath established the world by his wisdom, and hath stretched out the heavens by his understanding. And if let's skip on, if you would, to 17. Every man is brutish by his knowledge. Do you know what that really translates? Every man is a little stupid when it comes to his wisdom and knowledge. That's without drawing from God, okay? Every founder is confounded, by the graven image, for his molten image is falsehood and there is no breath in them. I don't care who tries to shortcut God, who tries to make a religion that is easy. You know, preachers work on stuff like that. Did you know that? That's why the rapture theory got off to such a blast. I mean, it's like little Charlie Brown carrying his... Was it Charlie Brown that had the blanket or... Yeah, the other little one, you know. The little wimp. Okay? He had the blankie. He wasn't really a wimp. He just liked his blankie, okay? But, so there you have it, okay? Our Father takes care of those that pay attention to Him. So we have a year coming that promises to be very interesting. Many things happening. Will we see war? If we have war, I figure, and this is a guesstimate, okay, strictly on my part, I figure by the second week of February that if we're going to have battles before fall, they will be ready to begin, all right? Because of, at least I hope it does, unless somebody knows them. Understand, there's a lot goes on we don't know about, okay? Do you know the main reason we're worried about the heat is because of clothing that protects from poison gases and stuff, okay? If we find out there are no poison gases, you know, we can go anytime. So there's a lot, and you know, intelligence feeds all this data into our leaders' minds. I'm talking about military. God help us if politicians start taking over. You know, let the military run the military. Let the military do the fighting. That's what they're trained for. They know how to cut it. That's why Norman Schwarzkopf was a general's general. He run the show, okay? Harry Truman was a great general, he thought. And I have nothing against Harry, but politicians that try to... of course, MacArthur kind of left us in the bind by listening to one of his hot shots, too. Anyway, don't want to start war stories again. God's in control. We're a superpower. And again, we are the best equipped. We have the best trained armies. We have high-tech weaponry that we don't even know about. There's some people in this room that probably do. Okay, but and it's good we don't. But we've got new things coming along all the time, praise God. And we don't have anything to worry about. So just praise God and thank Him for the fact that He's in control. And be alert this year, with Saturn having started the rounds, number one, and it's beginning to fade a little bit, of course, but Mars coming on tough at the end, we could, let our imaginations run with what we are see. If Mars is headed away from us toward heaven, maybe that means there's going to be a war in heaven and then to Earth. Who knows? Okay, just some food for thought, show you how my mind sometimes hooks up and runs into these things. So be alert. And we know, example, that Michael is going to put up a great battle in heaven, Revelation chapter 12, verse 6 and 7. So, what a fantastic time to live, and you're living it now. Even the prophets wanted to live at this time. So, bless your hearts. Keep awake. Don't go to sleep on watch. That's dangerous. Be alert. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Father, for the privilege of studying Your Word. Thank You, Father, for the opportunity that we can look the year over and look the prophecies face to face and the signs of the times and enjoy them. Indeed we do. Thank You, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Free introductory package. Say, this is something we would like to offer for a one-time gift to all the new folk that study with us. This introductory package gives you a monthly newsletter, which means each month you will receive a newsletter with a Bible study on it. Hey, raising funds? No way. We're not beggars. We're Bible teachers. That's what it consists of. A tape catalog that will give you all the topics that are covered. And the Mark of the Beast tape, What is this mark of the beast? Is it really on your forehead? No, Satan's considerably more intelligent than that. It's in your forehead, which is to say, in your mind. Have you been deceived? This is a free offer to you, one time to each new student. Say, find out what's really happening and what the story is on the mark of the beast.
Again, you got a lot of preachers that'll disagree with what I'm saying. I'm telling you the truth. When God gives you a fresh start, it's a fresh start, and you better praise Him and see it doesn't happen again. Mal from Indiana. My question is about strongholds. What can you tell me about them? Well, I'm glad you listened to us, and that's good. A stronghold would be many different. A stronghold would be many different things to many different people. My stronghold is Christ. Okay, when I am in Him, I'm covered, I'm protected. Okay, a stronghold can also be a personal place where you go and you know that you're secluded and that you're alone. You can talk to God and that you're safe there. Okay, usually when you live in the country as I do, your stronghold is a nice place, probably your own home, and it is protected with two armed guards called the Smith Boys. I know it's Smith and Wesson, okay? And you know, you have to look out for yourself and find solace and protection wherever you are. You know why? Because there's some evil-spirited people in this world. And I don't care how many people want to say, what about what? They will hurt you if you allow it. The secret is, don't put up with it. Like I told you earlier, we're not second-class citizens. Okay? You corner a Christian that is a real Christian and mean to hurt his family, and he will destroy you. And he has the right in God's dear word to do it. It's called self-defense. Okay, that's what a stronghold is a safe place, but you are the one that's got to make it straight with God's help. Okay, Randy from Illinois, Pastor Murray, according to the word, God placed souls from the first world age into flesh bodies and hid knowledge of that age from their memory. Correct. God also sent Jesus in His image to pass through this age to set the example for us to fulfill God's plan. Correct. Did God hide the knowledge of the first world age, from Jesus during His early walk in the flesh? The answer is no. I was wondering if Jesus came to full knowledge through study and prayer to learn His destination, and who He was, or if He knew it from the beginning through the Spirit by Mary telling Him. It wasn't Mary, it was God. I want you to read the first verses of the dear book of John. In the beginning was the Word. The Word, Logos, was with God. The Word was God. And Jesus Christ was the living Word. He is the truth. Now, there is one thing that in the flesh God did not allow Him to retain. And you will find that in Mark 13. That is the time of the end, the instant. I would appreciate your opinion, and thanks so much for allowing God to work through you. Well, you're so welcome, and I enjoy it. You're sharp and you're getting real good, but don't remember, Christ was divine. He was Emmanuel, God with us. Mary many times did not understand. Visualize for a moment when He remained behind at the synagogue, at the church, and I mean the doctors. He was amazing them at His knowledge. Where did this boy learn this? Where could he? Why? How could he answer questions like this? He was the Word, okay? I can document this for the fact that if you were to read Matthew chapter 13, verses 35 through 42, you would know that he knew exactly what happened both in this age and the one before. Joyce from Washington. Why wasn't Adam deceived by Satan before Eve was created? Well, see, Eve was appealing to Satan, Adam wasn't. Okay. Adam, I mean, you know, he was just a hairy-legged old boy, and there Eve was in her beauty, and Satan was attracted to that. He had, the real reason being, it would be through the womb of Eve that Christ would come. Satan's purpose was to destroy Eve's daughters by mixing with hybrids until there would be not one daughter of Adam left to produce the only begotten son, and Satan would have had the victory. That's what he was going for, okay? Sandra from Georgia. Besides prayer for unsaved family members, is there any way to protect family members from being condemned until they are saved? Well, you got to remember who the Savior is. It is Christ. We're not saviors. We can point them in that direction, but Christ does the saving. And Sandra, many times, God didn't take a cookie cutter and just cut out a bunch of people and say, you're all just alike. Your family may have a purpose that God's lining them up for that you're not familiar with. I'm just saying this so that you don't push your family too hard, okay? You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink, okay? So just set a good example. Be gentle. You're supposed to fish. And fish means you go out there and you use a bait and you keep trying until you find a bait they'll take, and you gently, gently, until you get them hooked, and then you sink that hook in and just reel them in. You don't go out there throwing rocks at them, okay, or making it hard for them. So be gentle and just be your dear sweet self and pray for them. And hey, you've always got the millennium. Cedric from Georgia. When Jesus said he goes to prepare a place for us, who is the us? My friend said it was for another people already set apart. Please explain this. You know, I really, people should not put so much faith in their friends as they do God's word. You know, your greatest friend is your father. And you get some person that's going to take that beautiful scripture, and this would be quoting John 14. The word prepare a place is a mansion, but it means a resting place, mono in the Greek tongue. It doesn't mean some house. It means a resting place, and that resting place is the Father and the Son. They abide with you, and you abide with them, live in them. That means dwell, okay? And it's for whosoever will. Don't let some fruitcake, well, I don't want to talk about your friend. Don't let some case tell you otherwise or counter God's word. He says it's for whoever will. Okay? Does he have some set apart people? Yes, he does, and they're supposed to work. They know what to do. He doesn't play favorites. He doesn't treat them any different than he does anybody else, other than he will get in your case and say, do it, and you will do it. I'm quoting from Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Many of God's saints, set aside ones, don't even know what to pray for. So he gooses them, and he gets them in line, and he will make them do what he wants them to. Why? Because he has already justified them, and he can interfere in their life so that on judgment day they can't squall and scream and say, God, if you hadn't have made me do this, that, or the other, I'd have been a saved person. Well, he will not touch anyone or interfere with their life. If they are here for the purpose with free will to find salvation until they ask him. And then all he's going to say is, you asked me to do it, I did it, period, end of subject, okay? But as long, until you ask, if you be one of the free will people, I hope that helps. You know, Cedric, I wish you would, I have a work titled Free Will and Destiny, or Elect, Free Will and Elect, I believe that's right, isn't it, Sue? Something like, anyway, you check the list and it will give you, there's two ends of that spectrum and hopefully it'll help you out. David from Georgia, how can you tell if you are listening to bad preaching? You just know that you know, okay? It's real simple. What is a preacher supposed to preach? Is, number one, is a preacher supposed to preach about how hard he is in life and how poor he is and how his poor old church can't even make it if you don't sell your house and send half the money to him? He's just down on his luck. He just really has a hard case. Have you ever read that in the Bible? I haven't. I have really emphasized a couple of times, God said, don't take a begging bag with you. I don't want you preachers out there begging. So really, if it lines up and you got somebody out there begging, that's bad preaching. Okay, they're not preaching; they're begging. I mean, call a spade a spade. All right, and I'll be out of time. That's, if it doesn't line up with God's word, it's not good preaching. Okay, because it's God's word that will help people. Man's word just gets them in trouble because they probably don't even know what they're talking about. Okay, hey. Just winning friends, influencing people here today. Okay, I love you all. You know why? Because you enjoy studying the Word. That's to say God's Word. The set of instructions that came with these bodies to tell us how to be happy. But most of all, that makes God happy when you read His letter. Really, He's proud of His children. Brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Most important, this, hey, you stay in His Word. Every day in His Word, even with trouble, it's a good day. You know why? Because Jesus, Yeshua, He is the living Word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word here on the Shepherd's Chapel Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. If you would like to receive more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer contains the Mark of the Beast audio tape, our monthly newsletter with a written Bible study, a tape catalog, and a list of written reference works available through Shepherd's Chapel. To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas, 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas, 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you. Are you a new listener to Shepherd's Chapel? We know at first glance the Bible may seem a little overwhelming. You may have asked yourself, where do I start?